Ryan Angulo can recite every line in the movie Pulp Fiction because he, in a sense, lived the movie growing up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. That's where he learned how to be Samuel L. Jackson.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. What you having?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast. What kind of hamburgers?
Cheeseburgers.
No. Where'd you get them? McDonald's, Wendy's, Jack in the Box, where?
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger. That's the Hawaiian burger joint. I heard they had some tasty burgers. I never had one myself. How are they?
Good.
You mind if I try one of yours? This is yours, right? Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger. You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France, do you? Tell them, Vincent.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. You know why they call it that?
Because of the metric system.
Check out the big brain on bread.
Narayana and his five brothers are an unusual collection of extreme movie buffs. Their brains are interwoven with movie memories that form a childhood of captivity, domination by a dogmatic Hindu father, and an escape into movies that has both warped these young men and liberated them. The real life of the Angulo brothers was an existence separate from the outside world. No visitors. They were homeschooled until one of them tried to escape and the others followed. Their story is told in the new documentary, The Wolf Pack, which won the Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival this year and which is in theaters this Friday. The film's director, Crystal Moselle, and two of the real Angulo brothers, twins Govinda and Narayana, explained how they came to understand that living movies was not the same as having a life.
I think as we approached movies and movies became our whole in this tiny apartment in New York City, we came to realize that this upbringing is not quite normal. You know, we're homeschooled. We don't have public school. We don't interact with people who we never grown up with.
Did it make you angry? Did you want to change that situation?
I mean, I don't think anybody really wants to grow up secluded. So, of course, we all had aspirations of, like, being in a better place. Like, not indoors all the time.
And how did you collectively understand that? How did you discuss it as brothers and as a whole family?
Well, it wasn't really a subject that was open for discussion, so to speak. We just sort of accepted it as we became more self-aware about it. In a way, it was balanced out with a little bit of freedom because our parents, particularly Dad, gave us a lot of access to movies. So there was a freedom in itself in that seclusion and isolation. So that kind of brought a balance.
What do you think your dad wanted from all of this? What was his original idea of creating the circumstances of your upbringing?
Well, that's basically just born out of a patriarchal urge, I guess you could say. It's that just very, like, very old, traditional family where, you know, the father dictates everything. The father answers for everything. The father's responsible for anything except that he never wanted any real responsibility. He thought he was, like, too special, I guess, to, like, have any kind of real responsibility except that the family had to just, you know, do what he said and had to listen to him.
Did Mom think differently? Did you have a sense that Mom thought differently about the way things were going?
Yeah, Mom was, she had a very different upbringing. She's a Midwestern mom, so she grew up in the Midwest in Indiana, and she had a different vision to raise her kids, more suburbia type, you know, like to experience nature, you know, not New York City. New York City was a place that my dad always wanted to come to, so she had different ideas of how to raise her kids, but she didn't always have a say in the family.
How did your dad support you guys?
Our mom supported us.
So Mom, she homeschooled us. So that was considered community service. And the school board, she was in contact with the New York School Board for homeschooling. And for that reason, we got food benefits, health benefits, and cash assistance. And that would provide all the essentials for the household.
Ultimately, this is a movie about a love for movies. When did you know that as a filmmaker?
Well, I think very early on I knew that that was an element to the story, but I think it took a while to realize that that was the element for the story. That it was really their these worlds that they created from their inspiration from watching films really was their savior.
Govinda, a lot of people will say that the idea of a bunch of boys holed up for years in a room watching movies like Reservoir Dogs is not a prescription for a healthy childhood. And obviously you guys don't buy the isolation that you had to endure, but the choice of movies, do you think it's messed you up a little bit?
Well, I consider us artists, so I hope we're a little messed up.
Good answer.
There's no real way to raise your kids. I've always told myself that. Like, every parent has their own decision to make, and some may not agree to their upbringing. As for us, we wish we had a little bit different scenario growing up. But these movies, I mean, they're all movies of violence. They're movies of love. They're movies of romance, comedy. This potion of creative art in itself. We were very self-aware of that, too. We knew that life wasn't the movies. So watching all these films very early on, I don't think it had messed up in any way mentally. Yeah.
What do you think audiences will think of it? You've already gotten some sense of that because of your success at Sundance. But what are they taking away from this film compared to what you expected they might?
I think that a lot of the response is just the beauty of the idea that, you know, the power of imagination can really help people. And I think that fear is something that if you can get past it, you can live out anything you want to in life. And these kids are such great examples. Their resilience was pretty spectacular to watch through the transformation of making this film.
How much anger do you have towards your father?
For me, there's no anger left. I've also learned the power of forgiveness. It's a way that as you grow up and you get older, you learn to realize that this is life. There's reasons. There might not be a reason why things happen the way they do, but you don't let anger take over you. You can't. That just drags you. That just drags things in life. So you just kind of move on, and you will never accept the situation, whatever it was, but you always look forward. Don't look backward.
How much anger did you have before you could discover that?
A lot of anger, because it was my teenage years.
So what was your worst year?
It's an interesting question, because there's rough roads in every year, and I don't ever summarize something as a whole, like the worst time you've ever had in your life. I just think there were moments that was really tough in every year, and a lot of them being when we were finally approaching adulthood, because we needed that freedom. We needed to think about career, about a job, about being an adult.
That's Govinda Angulo and Narayana Angulo, twin brothers and two of the Angulo brothers who were held in isolation for years by their father. Their remarkable story is told in the new documentary, The Wolf Pack, which is in theaters this Friday. The film is directed by Crystal Mazel.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.